We're in the middle of our all-night album replay this morning, and coming up next, Genesis, and then there were three. First of all, taking a look at news, those awaiting an encounter of the third kind can relax. Federal aviation officials have finally identified a mysterious smoking green blob that hurtled from the sky to Ripley, Tennessee. It's far from being a UFO. The 25-pound blob, they said, was nothing new. A Tennessee sheriff's dispatcher explained it had a nice little odor to it. And we sent a 3-ounce sample over to the University of Tennessee Laboratories. FAA officials say they are now looking for the airliner with the leaky toilet that lost the culprit blob over Ripley. Airplane laboratories, they explained, used a blue-green chemical in their holding tanks, and that chemical gave the blob its distinctive color. Well, a son who feels his parents didn't do their job of raising him properly has sued the two for $350,000 in damages. The suit was filed on behalf of Tom Hansen against his parents, Richard and Shirley Hansen, at a district court in Boulder, Colorado. Charges that Tom Hansen will need psychiatric care for the rest of his life because of the treatment he received in childhood. Hansen claims he was neglected, undernourished, humiliated, and forced to work at the age of 14. Hansen's attorney, John Tosig Jr., says the suit has been filed for what he calls malpractice of parenting. Hansen's suit asks $250,000 in medical expenses and $100,000 in punitive damages. A criminal judge in Tennessee has foiled an attempt to remove him from office after he wrote a letter to Hustler magazine on official stationery in which he made a graphic reference to oral sex. The state Senate voted 18-14 in favor of removing Judge Charles Galbraith, but a two-thirds vote is required. Tennessee's Judicial Standards Committee, the watchdog of the state court system, had recommended that Galbraith be ousted for alleged misconduct, neglect of duty, and moral unfitness. The world is now spending nearly $1 million a minute on weapons. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute says in its 1978 yearbook that countries around the globe will spend more than $400 billion for arms purchases this year alone, and more than half of that, according to the Institute, will be spent by just the U.S. and the Soviet Union. Southern Californians celebrated Sunday with a trade show featuring a solar-powered dancing hamburger. Sunday, an international celebration of the potential use of solar energy, was on Wednesday, May 3rd. But ceremonies started a little earlier than that in Los Angeles, when a Sunday exhibit opened naturally with a sunrise ceremony the Thursday preceding that. The show featured coffee pots, fans, and even a radio, all driven by power generated from the sun's rays. The LA Times reports, however, that a proposed solar-powered blimp failed to show up at the exposition. The music trade publication Melody Maker claims that, like rock music, playing soccer is one way working-class kids can achieve fame and fortune. The paper claims that the same people who go into rock music are also being attracted to soccer. In fact, soccer is fast becoming the sport of rock stars and many other music industry figures. In recent months, persons usually identified with rock music have been sinking large amounts of money into U.S. and British soccer teams. Even stars who are not buying teams outright are finally admitting to their love for the sport. And during a recent U.S. tour, Eric Clapton reportedly flew home to Great Britain just to see his hometown soccer team play a championship game. Elton John was recently credited with turning his own hometown team into a winner after he reportedly invested a large amount of money in the club. And singer Rod Stewart even went so far as to admit in a recent interview, other than playing soccer, rock and roll is what I want to do. Genesis, and then there were three. Side one on the KQ All Night album replay, and side one lasted 26 minutes, 36 seconds. Side two will be tracking through next, and following that, we'll hear from Bad Company, their first album, and finish off the All Night album replay with Robert Palmer and Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley. The KQ Classic Album Hour comes your way every Saturday night, and This weekend, we've selected Led Zeppelin and Houses of the Holy. Probably have a fresh copy for you, and we'll be tracking that through from side to side Saturday night at 1 a.m.
Introducing Blues and Boogie Night at the Prom every Wednesday, featuring great groups and 50-cent draft beer.
Genesis, and then there were three, side two, on the KQ All Night album replay, lasted 26 minutes, 36 seconds. Hope you enjoyed it. Coming up next, Bad Company, and their very first album entitled Bad Company. Well, next week on the All Night album replay, we've got four fine albums selected for you, too, and I believe you'll really enjoy them. Faces and Not As Good As a Wink, Leon Russell, Will-O-The-Wisp, Joni Mitchell, classic For the Roses, and Atlanta Rhythm Section with their latest album, Champagne Jam. We'll be tracking those all the way through, each of them for you, beginning next Sunday night at 12:30. KQ Research Cards are now available at Northern Lights and the Music Factory. So the next time you buy an album, why not fill out one of the cards, and then you can help us program the music that you'd like to hear. You'll get a call in a couple weeks following filling out that card, and we'll ask you a few questions about your music tastes. The Minnesota Kicks tipped the Dallas Tornadoes 2-1 yesterday afternoon in the Kicks' home season opener at Metropolitan Stadium in Bloomington. Tim Twelman and Ace Nesolongo scored Minnesota's goals as more than 36,000 fans watched. The victory enabled the Kicks to tie Colorado for third place in the National Conference's Central Division with 18 points. The crowd of 36,057 set a new home opening attendance record for the Kicks. Elsewhere in sports action, Mike Cubbage, Rod Carew, and Butch Weiniger knocked in 10 runs among them as the Minnesota Twins cracked 18 hits and defeated the Baltimore Orioles 15-9 yesterday at Baltimore. Cubbage collected two singles, a double and triple, and knocked in four runs. Carew had two singles and a sacrifice fly to bring in three runs, and Weiniger socked four singles and a sacrifice fly to drive in three runs. Minnesota scored four runs in the top of the first off losing pitcher Jim Palmer on four walks, an RBI single by Cubbage, a sacrifice fly by Weiniger, and three Oriole errors. In the second, Minnesota made it 6-0 on Willie Norwood's double, Carew's sacrifice fly, and a triple by Cubbage that knocked out Palmer. The Orioles cut the margin to 6-2 in the bottom of the second on Ken Singleton's home run and an RBI grounder by Terry Crowley. The Twins added three more runs in the third on an RBI single by Bob Randall and a two-run single by Carew to make it 9-2. Kathy Williams and Julie Gumlia led the University of Minnesota women's golf team to the Minnesota Invitational team title yesterday at the University Golf Course. Williams and Gumlia each shot 165 totals for the 36-hole tournament. They finished two shots ahead of Iowa State's Rachel Riker. The defending champion Gophers had a team total of 679. Nebraska was second with 705. Pacific News Service is reporting that cancer may become one of America's top political issues in the near future. PNS says that even now, the potential cancer constituency is vast. The disease, the news service says, strikes one in every four Americans and kills almost 400,000 annually. PNS says that the scientific community now accepts the belief that up to 90% of human cancer is environmentally caused and is not, as was formerly thought, the result of a virus that could be isolated and cured. According to one labor leader, Tony Mizaki, if 90% is environmentally induced, then 90% could be prevented. Mazaki is the vice president of the 200,000-member Oil, Chemical, and Atomic Workers Union, and PNS says a vigorous fighter to bring cancer to the political forefront. According to the news service, candidates of the future, instead of running on the usual platforms of stopping inflation, unemployment, or the arms race, will probably campaign on a platform of stopping or reducing cancer risks. India's famed Taj Mahal is being eaten up by pollution, according to an Indian government building protection committee. The committee said the combined efforts of two power plants, 250 iron foundries, and a railroad yard in the monument's vicinity were producing brown and yellowy streaks across the marble walls of the Taj. The 300-year-old building, often called the most beautiful structure in the world, was built as an eternal monument to a king's love for his wife. The government committee said all 250 foundries and the power plants should be moved elsewhere. The government of Jamaica is reportedly seriously considering the production of marijuana for export. High Times magazine says that Jamaica's Prime Minister Michael Manley admitted during a recent Washington interview that the export of Jamaican weed presents a tempting solution to that nation's serious balance of payment problems. Manley reportedly acknowledged that current United Nations sanctions against international pot trading are a stumbling block. However, Jamaican officials predicted that a change in those sanctions may be less than 5 years away. Prime Minister Manley, in 1975, ordered the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration to halt the indiscriminate destruction of Jamaica's marijuana plantations. As many as six Michigan legislators who claim they're opposed to legal abortions have secretly paid for abortions for women themselves. This is according to Women Against Inhumane Legislation, a group of Detroit-area feminists, which says it will make the names of the officials public as soon as formal affidavits are drawn up against the legislators. The group reports it's been advertising for women who have had abortions financed by state senators and representatives to come forth in efforts to expose politicians who publicly vote against abortion, but privately pay for it. Michigan has been among the hardest hit by the cutback in monies for abortions. The State House and Senate in Michigan have adopted an amendment which states that for the next fiscal year, funding for abortions under Medicaid